Last night at the American Airlines Center, Charlie Sheen's Violent Torpedo of Truth tour came to town. Gordon and I went. There were some other members of the ticket team there. A few of the guys from Bad Radio. A couple of the guys from the Hardline. Gordon and I show up around 7:45 last night for an 8 o'clock start. And for the next 2 hours, what we saw is really hard to describe. I got home last night, and my wife said, "So how was it?" And I said, "I really don't know what to say." And she said, "Well, what did Charlie Sheen say? What did he do?" And I said, "Nothing. He really didn't do anything. He just kind of wandered and rambled." And she goes, "Oh, you don't tell me anything. You just don't want to talk about it." And I said, "No, I really want to talk about it. I just don't know what to say. I don't know how to describe what we just saw." And as Gordon said in the O-Deck this morning, as the two of us are walking out to his car after the show, our jaws are agape, our mouths are wide open,
our brows furrowed,
and we're looking at each other, and we don't know what to say to each other. We can't believe what we had just witnessed.
Like I said, it's as if we were on a plane that plunged from 30,000 feet straight into the ground. Everyone else was killed, and we were just kind of walking around unhurt, and we just couldn't figure out what we had just been through. And as what just planes, happened then?
And as the plane's crashing, they didn't really seem to have a problem with it.
No, everyone was hooting and hollering, having a good time, yelling the F-word.
This was his 17th show on his tour.
Which, that amazed me. Yeah. I was thinking we must be, what, 5 shows in? He still hasn't focused the thing, hadn't got his material
17.
Together. 17. Giorgio, he comes out there. First of all, Kid Craddock introduced him, and the crowd hated Kid.
First of all, we should explain what the setup looked like. We go in there, and he's got half of the American Airlines Center that he's using. So one half of the arena with the top level curtained off. So you basically got the floor, which was full. I'd say about 700 people on the floor.
Eventually became full when we got there. And by showtime, which was 8 o'clock, scheduled showtime, the place, we were like, man, this is failing. There were about 2,000 people in there. But everyone else had the same idea that Charlie had that night, which was, let's all show up 45 minutes late.
Right. Show starts about 8:45. And up on stage, it's a real Spartan look. He's just got 2 chairs, a little coffee table, and one guy playing an electric guitar who's punctuating every line that Charlie says with a...
It's unbelievable.
And
some
he's got
some douche
sound.
With a PRS and 2 Marshall stacks.
So after 45 minutes of waiting, finally Kid Craddock comes out there, and he, as Gordon said, drew the short straw. What a bad gig, because this crowd... It's hard to describe the crowd. I'm guessing the collective IQ was about 85, and they're all trashed. They're either high or they're blasted on beer or whatever they're drinking, and all they want to do is sit back and cheer this guy that they either think is a train wreck or a genius.
Yeah, and everyone was dressed in the latest of douche products and douche clothing. A lot of hot women with these men. There were a lot of hot women there. And they were young. So before the show, before Charlie takes the stage, since we had plenty of time before he took the stage, we decided to ask people why they came to the show. Because our reason was clear. We're covering for the ticket. We're there for the train wreck. It's kind of, you know, we're being hip and ironic and watching something that's just pop culturally relevant, but not relevant in any other way other than that. So these people think the same way we do. Well, here's a young fellow that I talked to. You'll see how he was going to consume the Sheen show.
What's your name?
Brandon Thomas.
How old are you, Brandon?
20.
20?
Yes, sir.
And why did you come tonight?
Because I'm a fan of Charlie Sheen, and I've been kind of, my mom always used to watch him in his olden days, movies and stuff like that, and I just started watching 2½ Men, and he's a funny guy, and I just think that, you know, he's worked hard for what he's got, and people sometimes don't take that for granted and stuff, but he is a hard worker. I mean, he's a person like everyone else, you know, and I mean, a lot of the stuff with his personal life has gone public, but a lot of people have that kind of problem. So this is never that public, but I just think he's a classy guy.
Filibuster.
Is he a good role model, you think?
He's good. Yeah, for some people, not for kids mainly, but I mean for
like for you.
For me definitely, because I mean he's a person that can work hard, and, you know, and takes public criticism really well. Doesn't fold, you know, or like go crazy off the bat. He kind of did, but I mean he conned himself, you know, was cool and collected. But
what do you want to do for a living? Do you want to take a job that has public criticism?
Something like that, maybe. I'm kind of interested in like accounting or meteorology, you know, something like that.
That just completely confused me. So here's a 20-year-old who likes Charlie Sheen and sees him as a hero to the 20-year-old.
Says he's a classy guy.
Yeah.
Sheen.
Role model.
Classy guy. Role model. And there were a lot of people sitting around us doing the same thing. Now, so the show starts. Kid Craddock comes out there. And the crowd couldn't have hated Kid more. I mean, there was a guy back behind us who did nothing but heckle Kid Craddock anytime Kid was up on set. Why's your voice so high? You're a homosexual! It was brutal, Giorgio.
So it was mainly guys there, so he didn't help himself, Kid Craddock, by saying that women in town listened to him, not men.
No.
No.
And then he issued a couple jokes that fell flat, and then he tried to get straight into introducing Charlie. The whole evening was built around giving Dallas a shout-out. Whenever you realize that you had nothing, whether you're
Kid
Craddock or Charlie Sheen, you just start mentioning Dallas, that you're in Dallas.
George, I cannot begin to explain to you how much nothing Charlie Sheen had. For 2 hours, he never told a story. He never said anything remotely funny. It was 2 hours of catchphrases, little bursts. He'd speak for about 8 or 10 seconds and then just stare at everybody. It was, hey, Dallas, what's going on, Dallas? Winning, tiger blood, all that same stuff over and over. Oh. And you're sitting back and you're thinking, okay, at some point he's going to tell us his life story or some wheels off party stories or the story of the CBS executive and how they got into it. Nothing.
No inside story.
No momentum, no stories, no roadmap to his whole production. It was amazing.
Did he look like he was messed up?
It was hard to tell.
I didn't think he was messed up.
You just thought
I think he was having an allergic reaction to momentum. So he did have a couple videos, and I thought the videos were kind of amusing. I'd seen it before on YouTube, because it's been posted for a couple weeks, the 2020 takeoff fake interview, fake edited up interview. I thought it was pretty funny. I looked over at Junior. You would have thought he was on Mount Rushmore. Expressionless.
No smile.
No smile, never changed. Just sat there right next to me, like a cigar store Indian.
So, at the beginning of the show, he comes out and he says nothing for a while, and then he's got some t-shirts with all of his catchphrases on there. And he takes turns pulling out the new t-shirt, showing it to the TV camera so it's on the big screen behind him. Then he throws it into the crowd, and the TV camera takes a crowd shot. And you see these people going crazy over these lame t-shirts. It was straight out of Idiocracy.
Yeah.
People Groups fighting and, each other. And so he tosses one t-shirt in the direction of these two girls. Well, one girl grabs it, and you see the other girl mouth about 10 F-bombs in a row because she didn't get the t-shirt.
And both of them were just huge knockers spilling out everywhere.
As you said, George, it sounded like a wrestling crowd. Yeah. It was a wrestling crowd.
Yeah, that's what it sounded like.
All right, I'll give you a sample of a little bit of the crowd here. This is the audio, and this is a feel for the show, all right? There were a few different parts to the show, I guess if you can call them that. One was Kid Craddock coming out doing a Q&A with Charlie that went nowhere, so they just abandoned that.
They finally kicked him out.
Yeah, then they go to a video, and Kid wasn't there on the stage after the video comes back. Then Charlie had the idea that he was going to invite people up on the stage to give them advice.
Oh,
okay?
No.
And here's a little bit of that. Here's there's a guy that the whole crowd, anyone who was on stage who wasn't Charlie, crowd hated, and we're going to heckle. Even though they're their own, right? These are the people from Dallas that we're cheering so much for. All right.
What is your name, young lady? Talk to her. Close to her.
I'm Brittany.
Brittany, how are you?
Good.
Great. What do you do, Brittany?
Oh, I'm a college student.
You're a college student?
Yes.
Which college do you go to?
University of Arkansas.
University of Arkansas. First piece of advice, you should have lied about where you at least right here, right now. Anyway, what type of advice can I offer for you?
Relationship advice.
Relationship advice. Are you in a relationship or trying to get into one or out of one?
Neither.
Neither.
Right.
Okay. Listen to your friends.
Is there a bullfight going on at the same time too, or something?
Well, we can go on the tour bus later if I can be a goddess.
Oh, you would. That's so dallas.
Okay, all right. Settle down.
This is chaos, it's, George.
That's 2 hours. That's what we experienced for 2 hours.
These people that he brought up for advice, after 17 shows, you would think that he would think, let's screen these people. Let's get five people who have something funny, but none of the people he brought up had anything. And he never played off anybody well. He never had any really funny lines or quick retorts. He would just stare at the crowd and stare at the person and ask them how they are. And you heard the crowd, any woman that got up there, skank! Skankalicious! And so he brings his...
Skankopotamus!
He brings the one goddess that's still with him out. And that was the most wheels-off moment. She got no applause. He didn't say anything, and she walked around the stage for about a minute, kind of half-assed throwing out T-shirts, a complete momentum killer. Then he does a quick Q&A with her, and before she can answer any question, like, what's it like being a goddess... Then everyone from the crowd is like, oh, it's giving him! Beep, beep!
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It was just chaos for 2 hours.
I mean, people would just yell out random stuff. Like, yes, you would hear some guy, you know, two rows down, just yell out the blowjay. He'd just yell out that word.
Blank on her blank.
Yeah.
Do you think he's up there thinking, oh my God, this is a disaster? Or do you think he's up there just thinking, okay, I'm doing all right here?
I think he's thinking he's doing all right.
Yeah. And he is doing all right because all these people, they loved him. Despite the fact that his only accomplishment that evening was discovering one momentum killer after another.
And they're buying the T-shirts.
Yeah.
I saw Dan and Groobs bought some.
Yeah.
They had.
Well, they're
genius.
Being jokey about it.
But that one girl you talked to earlier, she had bought a tank top. And
yeah, the hot Indian girl.
Uh-huh.
She bought a tank top that said Rockin' 7 G's, which is a reference to the drugs that Charlie would do. I'm telling you, you would have gone to that, Giorgio, and you would have thought, okay, society's got about, I don't know, about 16 months, somewhere in there.
We were way up high in the beginning, and when we looked down, we saw so many empty seats, we said, let's move down. So we go down to almost the floor, and we're sitting in one of the sections in the 100 section, and we're about 10 rows back. So we're probably 50 rows, 75 rows back from the stage. I don't know. So Charlie Sheen starts throwing T-shirts to the crowd, and he's throwing them about to the first two or three rows.
Mm-hmm.
Well, there's this redhead in front of us. Anytime he starts to throw a T-shirt, she stands up and waves her arms. John Elway in his prime could not have thrown it to this girl. But she thought that methed out Charlie Sheen could see her, number one, and then get it there.
Yeah, we're 2 football fields away. She's up there. Yeah, and he asked for volunteers from the audience at one point, and she stands up raising her hand.
So if there's 2,500 people there, they're taking a bath on that, right?
No, I think there were more than 2,500.
Yeah,
I think eventually
up...
ended up around 5,000. I haven't seen the official
So maybe
count.
They broke even, maybe? If you're charging $7,500.
The whole feeling of the place in there was like, you know how when you're in a big convention center and you're waiting for the convention to start? The whole place to me felt like we were waiting for something to start.
But it never did.
Right. Never kind of did. It was like we were all in there killing time.
So there's a guy in the row behind us completely passed out for the entire show.
Yeah, I tweeted a picture of him.
Yeah, he's funny.
He yelled out stuff. This is my experience of that guy. He was wearing some douchey white shirt, you know, and he had chains and everything. And he was with a friend who seemed like he was a P1. The friend, I think, was a P1 and was fine with us throwing his other buddy under the bus. But the guy was yelling out for the first 15, 20 minutes of the show. Yelling out everything. He's having a great old time. Then I noticed he had fallen silent. And I looked back there, and he slumped over like Kennedy in 63.
Oh, no. Passed out.
And then we caught up with
Why
him after.
Why did the music stop?
We caught up with him after.
Yeah, we caught up with him after. Because he walked out. He left the show early, the same as we did. Okay? And you should have seen him trying to get up the stairs.
It was so funny.
It was like a guy that was trying to walk on the wing of a biplane, you know? Just he could barely hold his balance.
And he got outside, and we were following him outside. Maybe in the corner we can listen to that interview, because as he was walking outside the American Airlines Center, for every 20 feet straight ahead covered, he would walk about 60 feet sideways to get there.
Yeah, his lateral walking was it by far outpaced his east-west. His east-west was huge.
Maybe we'll hear from him in the corner. But, George, it was a remarkable night. We're both very happy we went, because it was indescribable. It really was. Yeah.
And we've just spent the past 15 minutes trying to describe it and can't do it justice.
No, I think you did a pretty good job.
I thought the funniest part of the evening was when Jeffrey Ross, who is the roasting comedian, he couldn't be there because he had to go back to L.A., but he left his list of roasting jokes for Charlie, and they brought out a podium, and Charlie's head of security, a guy named Zito.
Sylvester Stallone guy.
Yeah, looked like Sylvester Stallone. Or a Dice Clay kind of looking guy. He comes out there and reads Jeffrey Ross's jokes, roasting
funny.
Charlie.
Yeah.
Some of those are really funny. And I'm going to try to go through and edit as best I can and maybe play that in the corner as at 9:15.
All right. That was the experience. It really was fascinating.